Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 4 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has a bone to pick with the Richmond Football Club. It's the one and only Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. What a fantastic round of football we've had again as we head into Gather Round. And you've got to say, like, Richmond, as good as they have been over the last, say, 6 years, Michael, of... They've been an impressive team, and I think everyone got on board when they won their first flag. We kind of were okay when they won their second against, even though it was against GWS. We kind of wanted GWS to win that, but sure, they had it. And even maybe even people like you might have been okay had they lost during the COVID year against Geelong, but it would have made people like you happy. We're okay that they won their three flags and finally got themselves out of the doldrums, but... As a football club, mate, I've got to say, they have made the people turn against them very quickly.
They have, yeah.
Now, obviously, they're not flying on the field. They've only won one and a half of the four games that have been played so far, and their head honchos is where it's all starting to fall apart at the Richmond Football Club.
The fish rots at the head, Adam. The fish rot at the head.
It has. You got to cut. What are you going to do? You got to cut the head of the snake off. Is that where you? Is that how you get rid of a snake? You fucking get the shovel out. You fucking whack it over the head.
I'd actually be curious, actually, for a little science experiment, and I hope it's not for another 50, 60 years. But I'm curious if Paul, if something happens to Paul Salmon, do you think he would rot first? The head?
That is a fucking great question.
That is an open coffin, but the head's covered. I think.
I reckon that would be a great exhibit to put at the MCG Museum. We don't have a lot of a scientific element when you go down there. So you go in there and you got to pop on, probably, it's up to you, you got to pop on a mask, an N95, and walk in and you see a rotting Paul Salmon.
I wouldn't mind like an anatomy section of the museum there, because museum is very impressive, but also they're very impressive specimen, the males and females, the athletes over the journey. So if you had like a... You know, you could see what a Ron Clark looked like in the kind of the 1950s body. So it's kind of as players and you know Olympians and the like, they pass away. They can go, hey, pop me in a glass case, preserve me like Lennon, and I can be viewed by millions of people each year. Another idea for the AFL that I'm sure they'll just ignore.
Or they'll steal it with no credit to us at all. Imagine going into the MCG Museum and putting your hands up against a stuffed Stuart Lowe to compare your hand to Buckets himself. Just have his hands in there. You don't even need Stewie in there. Just cut off his hands when he passes away. He leaves his hands to science.
It's a bit like, you know, Farlap's on display. Like, why can't we have sports people on display, famous cricketers and the like, you know? As a bit of like a real-life Madame Tussauds.
Well, also that you could compare yourself. You could go, you could stand next to a footballer and go, am I physically able to give, like if you're standing next to Joel Selwood, you go, can I give 110% like he can?
Yep.
And then they put you, because it's in the future, obviously, and they put you on a machine and they rate how many percent you can give out of 100.
Yeah, but you've got to rank yourself against like a Aaron Sanderlands or stuff like that. You know,
oh, the freak show.
Yeah, you can work out like you know, like how tall, like yeah, you know, could I have out jumped him? You know, or jumped over the top of it.
I think there's a lot of fun to be had, and they're certainly missing out. Again, AFL, listen to Junk Time. Pay attention to what we have to say. Now we did get
we detoured pretty quickly then.
We did, but I like the idea of a rotting Paul Salmon. Jot that down, Junk Timers. When you see a rotting Paul Salmon in the street, you'll go, Junk Time started this. The fish does rot at the head, and it has done so at Richmond. Now, Damien Hardwick got himself in two blues this week. Mm. Firstly, he did it with Channel 7 weather person Jane Bunn.
Out of line. Yeah,
He claims that Jane Bunn let down the Richmond Footy Club. He says, Jane Bunn let us down with the weather prediction, I thought, but no pressure, Jane, this week, because he wasn't sure whether it was going to rain, how many big men they should take into the game, because you don't want too many talls when it's going to rain. And so Jane returns serve.
Mate, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Jane when she loses her cool. But yeah. It's not a pretty sight, okay? I've been on the receiving end many times when I've... Because obviously, you know, I was a PA for a long time. And I mean, when you got the coffee order, you know, incorrect slightly, or it's too hot, too cold, oh, she could turn very quickly. And, you know, she may all be smiling and happy on the television, my friend, but when that camera's off, the staplers have been thrown at my face.
I remember once you said that there was a cold front coming in from the south-southeast when it was... coming in from the east, and I remember the beating that you took, and I know you didn't want to talk about that.
No. I signed an NDA about what Jane did to me. I got smashed in the face with high heels. I got hit with coat hangers. I had to watch West Coast Eagles games. It was a nightmare.
She's rough, but she fired back and she said, if you don't like playing in the rain, maybe you should come over to Marvel Stadium. It's always lovely under that roof there.
Bang! Bun from 50.
Yeah, and absolutely fucking nailed him. Smoked him because he once said that Richmond people don't like going to Marvel. It's like a double whammy. She's just gotten into his kitchen. And that's probably why Richmond lost on the weekend, because he was thinking, well, who am I going to watch for my weather now?
I can't
watch Jane Bunn.
He's at an absolute loss. Like he wasn't focused on the game. He kept on looking up the weather channel on his phone. He was an absolute disgrace. Dimmer?
Yeah, and it threw him so much that it carried on through to the post-game press conference. Mm-hmm. Now, Richmond lost in a close one. Tom Lynch savagely almost killed Alex Keith in the first quarter. He was pretending to go for a mark, but we all know that Richmond players are natural-born snipers, and that's why they got him from the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Like, they didn't look at him as his goal-kicking skills. They thought, how can we use Tom Lynch to basically end a young man's career before it's time? Someone who's gone, you know what, I don't want to play cricket. I want to play footy because it's a fun... I get to play with my mates. It's safe sport. And then Tom Lynch goes, and Alex Keith, as he was lying there getting stretched off, was just singing, I should have stuck to cricket.
Yeah.
It was just a lot more fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I remember when they were looking at Tom Lynch at Richmond, and they said they want him to get a bag. And what they meant was a bag of scalps every game.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a bounty at Richmond. You know that they send people out there to kill. So Tom Lynch put down Alex Keith. Dimmer was asked about it in the post-game press conference, as you would. The journo said, hey, what did you think of the contests with Tom Lynch? And he goes, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Did Jane Bunn send you here, mate? Hey? You're patsy.
What are you trying to do to me? So he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see it. Mm. And it's like, well, I reckon you saw it because the game stopped because someone was concussed and you got given a free kick.
And I reckon it was pretty near the ball too when it actually happened.
Yeah, and it was on your side of the ground, like right in front of the coach's box. So I'm not sure exactly what you were looking at, but I reckon you saw it, Dimmer.
I think Dimmer is one of those coaches when he gets grumpy. I actually feel a bit disappointed in terms of like...
Because he snaps, doesn't he?
Yeah, and also like you know that he can be a funny guy, he can be a friendly guy. And like when he gets in a bad mood and he's kind of rude to people, we kind of go, oh, come on, Dimmer, be better than that. Be better.
Well, he followed that up when the journo in question said, well, they were talking about it on the broadcast. Mm. And Dimmer said, oh, the broadcast, I've seen that lately. It's not very good. Now, come on, Dimmer. Which bit of which game have you seen to give you that idea that the broadcast is not? How dare you?
I mean, you know, what part of repeatedly hearing the words boy, oh boy, wowee, 100 times per quarter don't you like? Or hearing Lloyd. Or when there's like a key magical moment set to happen at the SCG and you're just looking at three quarters of the screen of the back of someone's head. Like, how are you critiquing the Channel 7 coverage like that?
Or just someone who's so into themselves that they just keep saying, goodness gracious me, like it's all about them. Yep. And also someone who really doesn't know the players that well and constantly gets names wrong, unless they're in the top 10 of the AFL, will pretty much get their names wrong, as they did do at Carlton, because about 8 players had beards and they just went with Levi Casbolt every time. But apart from that, how dare you say that, Dimmer?
Do you reckon coaches are a sound-off guy? Or do you think they keep it on by the fact, do you think they want to get their own perspective of the game, watching it without being influenced by commentators kind of telling them how the game has been played out?
So you reckon when they're sitting at home watching it by themselves,
I'm just wondering, like,
the sound off in the, like, Gold FM in the background or something?
Like, every now and then, like, I'll watch shows I'm working on, if they're comedy shows. Every now and then I'll watch them with the sound off, because I want to get an idea of, like, does it actually look like it's a comedy show, if you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
If, like, if people, but my thing is, like, you know, unless it's like, you know, it's a performance as such, but it's like,
yes,
smile. I want to be able to watch a thing and look at it like it's a comedy. So sometimes I will actually watch shows with the sound off, just to kind of see how it's coming across without any other influence.
Yeah. No, I would say no. Like, how are you going to know which private school certain players went to? You miss out on little key bits of information.
Yeah, good point, good point. I mean,
as you're watching,
I want to know what sporting background they had. That's my priority when I listen to the commentary. I want to find out what game were they not quite good enough to go pro for, but yep, they're good enough to go pro for football.
Yeah, or, you know, if their dad played footy, any yep anecdotes that they may have had when they played with their dad. You miss out on things like that. So I would say that they would have them up.
Dude. But it's
it is all happening at Richmond, and it doesn't just stop with the with the coach. Their former captain and I was going to say renowned low dog, but does everyone think that Trent Cotchin, like, but do people like, okay, question without notice, do people love Trent Cotchin?
I think he's regarded well. I think he's regarded as a good premiership captain. Although he probably shouldn't play it in 2019. Oh, I'm going to get letters. but I think he's regarded as, I think more of like kind of Lego man hair, like, you know, doesn't move. But I don't think I remember a great deal of sniping going on in his background.
No, see, I reckon he's a bit like Dimmer, that he comes across as really, you know, jovial and a little bit of fun. But he, of late, has been, you know, a little bit elbowy. He did that thing to Dylan Chill in the 2019 prelim. There's just been a few things that creep in and you're like, oh, you're not the fun, playful guy that everyone, like, that you like to portray yourself as.
Well, I reckon that might actually have to do with a bit of age and getting, you know, maybe you feel like you're losing a step and therefore you're getting a bit more frustrated during games.
I do notice you doing that in the comedy game.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You've hit more people with the microphone stand than you ever did in your younger years.
It was really bad, actually, the other day. A bloke brought me up on stage and I sniped him from behind. I'm getting...
Yeah.
I've lost a step.
Your jokes aren't as quick as they
I took out a text the other day.
Oh, mate, he asked for it, though. He asked for it. So Trent Cotchin has got himself into trouble because he's basically running a cartel that none of us knew about.
Yeah, yeah.
He found himself in a school uniform controversy. Mm. Is there a worse controversy than school uniform, Michael? I don't think there is.
I feel like this might be the darkest day in Australian sport. I know we've said that a few times, but I feel like this might be the darkest day in Australian sport. It's a very strange story.
Yeah, so basically, Trent Cotchin and his partner run a sock company.
Mm.
As all footballers, you know, you either buy a nightclub, you start a fashion label, or you get into socks. They've all done it. Time immemorial, that's what happens with footballers. So the Herald Sun are reporting that St. Teresa's School in Essendon, all students were instructed to buy only the socks from the Cotchins.
Now, they have a special feature on them, don't they?
Yeah, so they're called Posy Socks, which they design socks with positive messages on them, such as I am enough and be kind.
Yeah, but then on top of that as well, when you put your shoes on,
yeah,
you can't see those words. That's one of the complaints from the parents. So you have these things on your feet, but you can't look down and get that positive affirmation from the socks. I know very personally, I pretty much do whatever my socks tell me to do.
No, that's you often wear a happy sock, and whenever you see your sock smiling, I see you smiling, Michael.
And so
but also, too, I feel for the bullies who are, you know, if you're, because there's always going to be bullies in primary school.
Yep.
If you're a bully and you have to wear a sock that says be kind as you're stomping someone. I mean, that it takes away from your message, and that's where I feel for the little kids who are stomping other kids and, you know, beating other kids up.
I wonder if it becomes like a bullying tactic by the fact, you know, you go, oh yeah, you probably got your B enough, or I'm enough socks on. Hey, guess what, fuck, mate? You're fucking not enough, mate.
So the parents were left questioning how this collaboration happened. Mm. Like, how did the Cochins get in? And are they running, basically, a cartel? And it's starting at St. Teresa's in Essendon, but it's going to get, you know, bigger. And basically, every time you see a school kid, they will have a sock that says, be kind, or kick into the six-goal win.
They seem quite pricey, too. I think it was like you had to order at least $60 worth of socks to take advantage of the free... free shipping, if I remember correctly. And then also...
Yes, that is correct.
The school has a uniform policy, but they also... It says it doesn't allow anything, I think, from Target or Big W, which I presume means they Big W sells products that are close enough to the school uniform, but they just don't want that brand.
I mean, where does one... Did you have... Okay, so when you went to... when you're at school, did you have a particular shop that only sold school uniforms? Like, we had one in Essendon in Nidri. I think it was called Beard Brothers that we used to go there. Because where else are you going to get sharp-looking grey slacks?
Yeah, sure, sure. I remember when I was at primary school and the school uniform was bought at a local newsagent's, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
So that had a bunch of, like, the shorts, and we wore a green, I think, green collared shirt during summer. And then like a blue kind of winter shirt, I think. But yeah, you'd go into a newsagent and they just have a box of, like, you know, size 8 shorts and size 10 shirts, and you just go through and probably then put them on, try them on or whatever. But and then at high school, there was like, there's a couple of shops that sell like all of the kind of...
boater hats.
Yeah, that shit, yeah.
Blazers.
Yeah, fucking hell, yeah. Hot air balloons and shit, you know. You know, pistols for the...
Yeah. R.M. Williams suspenders, for the, all that kind of
the
stuff.
For the quail hunting.
Whips
for your horses. They do a fucking roaring trade, those weeks. But I've never quite worked out how they get the contract as such. Like, how that works. Like, why is this particular shop selling them? And are they exclusive? Like, could another shop just start selling them? Are they considered, like, knockoffs, like AFL knockoffs or something?
Oh, like you could go to a market in Thailand and load up.
Yeah,
on,
like, could Ricky Nixon,
you know,
start
Xavier
making
college blazers?
Start making counterfeit fucking blazers.
Yeah,
the spelling's off, and you know, it's like,
yeah,
the,
yeah. You get a top that says Besley College.
Yeah, it's got like it's got three sleeves. Like, and you just go, ah, chicken, you've done it again, mate. Chicken.
Yeah, your blazer's got a number 10 on the back and messy, but it's just like, it's still your blazer.
It's covered in crumbs from the bakery. It's a nightmare, yep. Chicken. What are you doing?
But it's comedy festival time, and I went and saw your fantastic show on Saturday afternoon. So Junk Timers, and there were quite a few Junk Timers there. Make sure you get to see Michael's show. Only two to go. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I wanted to hate it. I went in ready to boo. I had, I was going to throw golf balls at you.
Yep.
I was ready to go, but it was a really fun, sharp show, nice and pacey, lots of laughs, and Junk Timers, it's right up your alley. You'll have an absolute ball.
It is about the history of the above-ground pool. That is the topic I'm tackling this year. It's Michael Chambers' completely incomplete history of Australian rules. And thanks for coming, mate. It's very kind of you. I must say, I am not returning the favour. But tell us about your show. I got two shows left. So go to comedyfestival.com.au. And how about you? You're starting tomorrow night.
I am. So we're recording this on the Monday night. I start on Tuesday, the 11th of April. I'm at 8:10 at Cooper's Inn, and yeah, I'm ready to go. So I've just been, in the last couple of days, you're sort of just trying to memorize stuff.
Yep.
So I'm in that point, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I hope, Junk Timers, you can come along. Don't forget, you can get the code LOWDOG to get yourself some discounted tickets if you go to trybooking.com. Just type in my show, High Functioning Idiot, or Michael's Complete and Utter Pathetic History of Football.
What is your process? So are you kind of a looking at the wall kind of guy? Like, are you, yeah, you know, I kind of, yeah, you know, you got to say it to yourself, actually. You got to rehearse it as such. Like, do you stand there with the wall? Are you a deodorant can in the hand guy?
No, I don't need to know what the microphone feels like, but what I will do, there are notes in my bathroom now.
Yeah.
So just around the shower and stuff like that. So when I'm just standing there doing nothing. But otherwise, my process is to write out like...
How often are you in the bathroom?
Quite a bit, man. Quite a bit. I like to shower. I like to get the stink off. No, but it's just there because otherwise I can be at my computer. So that's the one space where I won't be with it not near me.
Yep.
So those will be up like on the mirrors and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure,
whenever I walk in there.
Yeah.
But I'll write out the headings and then try and write everything out from memory and try and memorize the show that way and just continually rewrite.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. That's not a bad way to do it, actually. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get along... what are you doing, like 11 shows all up, is that correct? Not 10 shows.
I have got 11. They're 11. Actually selling really well, so get yourself some tickets, Junk Times. Don't miss out.
Hey, Gather Round is coming up.
Mate, I'm looking forward to it. I reckon it's going to be an absolutely cracking weekend. I'm over there on Wednesday for the Front Bar. We are broadcasting from the Adelaide Oval in the McGarry Room, which is going to be a little bit of fun.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. And so it's actually going to be a really good round of football. It's bookended by two cracking games, Carlton and Adelaide kicking off on Thursday night.
Yep.
And then Collingwood and St Kilda bringing it home on Sunday night. That is going to be an absolute ripper. First versus fifth. It should be a great game.
Now, they've got a few festivities set up. I suppose a little bit like they do at the MCG on the grand final. They have like almost kind of a few little rides, kind of food stalls. Like I think a few years ago they had the Hawthorn Eagles Waverley Batmobile car was there.
Yeah, right. So it's a bit of a carnival feel, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And then also I imagine the Channel 7 Fox Footy are going to be broadcasting there, you know, doing outdoor broadcast kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, they seem to be... putting forward the big feature is, if I remember correctly, a 150-metre zip line that is going to be going across the River Torrens. Now, this is a slight bone of contention for us, and we have a slight feeling that the AFL may not be taking full advantage of everything in that area near Adelaide Oval. And I don't think I need to say out loud what object they should be showcasing. Well, for Gather Round.
Why the fuck would you go in the air across that river when you could use your foot?
Use your feet.
And walk across a bridge.
Walk across the bridge. Like, it's right there, and it's like, oh, yeah, sure, let's, you know, let's risk our lives, dare I say. Like, you know, who knows what kind of carnies are going to be running that zip line? Fresh off the Royal Easter Show. Carnies running this zip line where you can leisurely... at your own pace, safely walk across that river and you can head towards Adelaide Oval. It's a missed opportunity from the AFL. And it's a missed opportunity from Front Bar too, okay? I'm turning on you guys.
Yeah.
You should be recording that show on the fucking footbridge.
I mean, I pushed for it, obviously.
Yeah, you're strong on that.
But they said, no, we want it in Adelaide Oval. We want it in the confines of a room in case the weather turns on us. But I'll tell you what, though. You know what would be great? If you're on that footbridge and going, what a magnificent architectural structure that I am walking upon. This is engineering at its finest. And then you watch some fucking idiot get stuck over the torrents as the zipline sags in the middle. And you're like, I am very glad I'm not across that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I actually wonder. I don't think I would do that zip line. It's probably not very high. I'm not very good at heights at all anymore. But I feel like a zip line doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, it's kind of like a kid's thing, isn't it? It's like a flying foxy kind of thing.
I suppose so.
Like
yeah.
If you're an adult, I mean, you don't want your face paint to fly off as you're ziplining across the ground. You know, like if you're Catman, so Catman could be going across. We got sent. On our Instagram page today.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a new Catman getting
there.
There's a new Catman. Imagine him trying to get across.
Because if I remember Catman returned for a while, didn't he?
I believe so.
And then there was...
He had some things that people hadn't heard Catman needed to get out.
There are a few players that he hadn't. A few new recruits. And he's like, oh, I got a few in store for you. But there was Cat Lady for a while as well. I presume she's still around. But then it seemed to be from the photo on the coverage that it was not Troy, it was another Catman.
Can you just hand over, Cal? I thought there would have been some kind of ceremony.
Some kind of ceremony, yeah, sure.
Yeah, like a passing of the furball or something.
It's almost like a kind of a multiverse kind of thing. Like, you know how like all the Spider-Men came back for like the last one? You know, like they're kind of going into different worlds. But two Catmans, fucking hell. It's like having like two, it's like having two popes. You know, lucky Benedict's gone now, you know.
You can't imagine that. You just can't imagine that. But I think Gather Round is going to be... question without notice.
Yep.
Do you think that it will run out of steam after... Like, by Saturday afternoon when you go, we've had the great game, we've had Adelaide play, then I think the Bulldogs play Port at some point, and then you kind of go, eh, do I really want to see West Coast and Geelong? You know, am I going to go down to the fucking precinct and... Is it going to run out of steam, Mike?
I'd actually like to question without notice, by the way. But I wonder actually what the model is, because the Brisbane one they do, the Queensland one they do.
Magic round.
Might actually be a bit bigger now with the Dolphins in there. But I'm actually curious to kind of like what was their first year like, what was their second year like, what was their third year like? Because I'm going to presume if you do the gather round, you're only really going to get great return if it was in Perth or Adelaide. I'm going to have to say that. Like, I mean, Sydney, I know, kind of wanted the gather round, but I can't imagine they would have got many people at any games that weren't Swans.
Yeah, I suppose they want people to travel there, and that's where I reckon Perth gets taken out of it, because not everyone can afford the $19,000 one way that Qantas will make those tickets. If gather round was put in Perth.
Yeah, sure. Well, maybe it becomes an Adelaide
tradition.
So at
least if you go in Adelaide, you could... Say again?
Maybe it becomes an Adelaide tradition then. Like, Adelaide is the permanent home.
I don't mind it. I think it's a good thing, you know, and it's not that far a drive if you're going from Melbourne or Sydney, or, you know, it's a bit of a drive if you're coming from Perth, but it's more accessible, I think, than anywhere else.
I think it's going to be fun. Hey, can we...
I'm really looking forward to it.
Can we talk about one disturbing thing?
Please.
I don't like to talk about these kind of issues in the game, just by... I feel like I need to bring it up. And there's just a few reports over the week. And it's actually a player welfare situation, Adam.
What do you got?
It seems that Ross Lyon has stopped the drinking culture at St Kilda.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a good look for the game, is it? It's not a good look.
You just wonder whether he should be allowed back in the game. I mean, you know, they kicked Stephen Dank out of the game for bringing it into disrepute. And I guess that is what Ross Lyon... is doing. Like, if as a fan you can't go to a nightclub and get urinated on by a player, like one of your favorite players, you turn around and you're like, what the fuck is that going on in my feet? And it's one of your heroes is pissing on your leg, and that's not going to happen because Ross Lyon has basically cut that out of the game.
They're pissing on you, and they've got their arm around your girlfriend because she's
exactly.
It's not good. So they say that Matthew Lloyd talked about, I think, must have been on the Sunday Footy Show, maybe, talked about Ross Lyon came in with his heavy hand and he stopped the drinking culture. And he said the Saints had such a culture that if you'd go out with them and you weren't drinking, you'd get heckled. You'd get kind of made fun of.
You'd get mocked.
For not getting on the froths.
Well, I mean, the froths are bonding. I mean, you tell me, like, when you go, say the St Kilda players go out to a dinner party and, you know, you're expecting something because they're an AFL footballer.
Yep.
And you sit there and you go, hey, Jack Steele, what stories have you got? And he's like, I don't have any.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, we don't drink. I haven't. So you've never punched anyone inside a casino? No. What, you've never flatlined outside a nightclub? No, I haven't, mate. You go, well, fucking... Dinner party's off.
Wait a second.
Get rid of this bloke.
Are you telling me you've never been arrested by the cops with your shirt off in Perth and unveiled this magical tattoo to everyone?
Are you telling me that when the St Kilda Football Club has a players' barbecue in someone's backyard, that no one goes to the laundry to be with one of their teammates' partners?
Wait a second. Are you telling me that at a Mad Monday... And there's a little person you've hired.
Yeah. and that little person comes along, does their job, and then leaves, and nothing's happened to them.
They aren't needing a fire extinguisher at some stage. Are you telling me that, Jack?
I mean, what has the St Kilda? That is why They've only won one flag in 150 years. I mean, really?
Are you telling me at the St Kilda Social Club, no one's punched the CEO of the club? I find that. I find that ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, you might be undefeated at the moment, St Kilda, but this is just
it can't last.
A dead cat bounce.
Yeah.
It can't.
Yeah, it can't last.
It can't. By the middle of the season, I guarantee you that the St Kilda Football Club will be doing a tour of the Carlton United Breweries.
Yep, sure.
They'll be back on the froth. Like, you will see those players bloated, and some of them with gout.
Yep.
And they will just look like shit, and you'll go, they're real footballers now.
Now, you know, actually, they're doing, actually, it's going to collapse the gather round because they're going to do bus tours of Brysa. That's a fact. They're going to do that.
But they're going to be the ones trying the non-alcoholic wine, and they're going to be boring. Like, imagine being stuck on that bus with all those boring St Kilda people. It's just not a club you want to be around. It's not a destination club anymore, Michael. What are they going to do? Are you telling me that they're going to go on their end-of-season trip and pretend that they're in a Halloween costume by just wearing a bathrobe,
yep,
and then get into a fight at a nightclub,
mm-hmm,
and then come home even though they told their club that they were actually over there to do high-performance training? Are you telling me that's not going to happen for the St Kilda Footy Club?
He's a blight on the game, Ruslan. The sooner he's gone, the better.
I agree. Hey, I agree. It was good that he was gone.
We'll duck back very quickly. We'll wrap up shortly, but Purple made a few comments. We probably should have brought this up when we talk about Gather Round.
Yeah, I mean, Damien Barrett's had an absolute shocker. He's lost his mind, basically.
Purple was talking off the back of the showdown that the idea that the showdown should move to Melbourne every once in a while, be played in Melbourne.
I mean, sometimes can you have on the spot your accreditation stripped of you? Like, is there an AFL official? So this is what there should be. There should be on every broadcast, no matter what it is, radio, TV, an AFL official should be there.
Yeah.
And when you say something as ridiculous as that, whether or not first time, like I have an MRO for the journo.
I think so. It's kind of like an integrity unit.
Yes.
And we can have, I imagine Chriso can do the same thing. He can watch the game at the same time, and he can also monitor the commentators, what they're saying, their statements they're making, and then also around the clock.
Everything could be on in the arc.
And his job's watching the tape, and so he just watches the Sunday footy show at half speed, so he doesn't miss anything.
No. You don't want to miss what caught my eye.
He goes through the whole thing. I mean, I heard them once. They actually, I'm telling you what, they once made a joke about Tony Jones' teeth.
Get out of here.
It was a one-off. It was a one-off, man.
Okay, all right.
But
tell me off it.
Watching all the footage, and then if there is a comment like that, we should move the showdown to Melbourne. He should immediately, he actually should have power. And so the station goes to black. Like, immediately it's yanked off air. Purple is kicked out of the Journo Association. And I feel like he might be the leader of the football sector of the Journo Association. I feel like he might be the president of that or something. So this actually makes it worse.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I just think that they need to be held accountable, these journalists, and they're not being at the moment. When you say stuff like that, like, say, as I pointed out in round one, when James Brayshaw said that Braden Maynard was bleeding from the head instead of claret from the bonce, and you just go, he hasn't had to be held accountable for that. And he should have been immediately yanked off air, given a fine, perhaps a week off, and he goes away and he thinks about it. He calls the reserves for a couple of weeks. And then he comes back in.
Or some kind of...
He's got to earn the trust.
Some kind of impeachment-style thing where you write up the articles of impeachment. You obviously have the evidence, the proof. You know, JB didn't say claret, didn't say bonce. Yep. And then he has his day in kangaroo court.
in tribunal.
And he can kind of defend himself. And he has to say, you know, what he did wrong and admit to that. And then we strip him of accreditation and kick him out of the game.
Yeah. And they say, firstly, they go, he puts his duke on the footy record
yep.
and swears on the footy record.
Yeah. And also,
they say, do you uphold the player review?
And actually, it could be kind of team with like a leading teams kind of thing. Because in theory, like you're getting in front of the group, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you got to stand in front of the group and say your case. Hey, do you want some footballers in real life?
Hit me.
Let me get the document. There it is. Let me scroll down. From, I am
Brendan.
Yeah, I am Brendan. Yeah. football in real life action. Played in my weekly Monday night men's basketball game in Division Terrible at Waverley last night. And couldn't help but notice Jared Ruffhead and Jordan Lewis playing on the court opposite. Lewis seemed way too into it. Ruffy seemed happy to be there.
I imagine Louis would be quite the white line fever kind of guy. Whereas Ruffy, also too, because Ruffy's tall, so he would be pretty adept at it, I would have thought. So Jordan's probably got to work a little bit harder.
Yeah, sure. Ruffy can kind of... I think... I haven't heard a great deal about Jordan Lewis's basketball prowess.
Basketball background. Yeah, he never seemed to have time and space like other people did.
But obviously Ruff had that, and so therefore I think he's probably a bit more confident on the court.
I wonder when those two are playing basketball, whether people go, oh, but those two have got football background. And people go, oh, no wonder they got time and space and they can hit up someone outside 50.
Well, it probably is a point that, weren't a Ruffy film like a, was it a Carlton draft ad or something like that? And they kind of asked, I think it was like a ripoff of that Vogue thing or whatever. They asked you like 45 questions or something. And he was filming it on a basketball court. So I think that's what he kind of made me just do for kicks when he's kind of just chilling out.
Yeah, right.
From Fear Flynn, just finished up after Chamber's show at Cooper's. Great time all around. Oh, there we go. Thanks for coming, Flynn. And good to see Rosie and Willa in the audience. I was the one in the St Kilda Guernsey. Oh, yeah, talked to Flynn during the show. Hopefully yes, they deliver tonight against the Suns. Yes, they did. Seeing Chambers reminded me that I got a footballer's in Rye from last year. My partner is Japanese, and we hadn't been back to Japan in a number of years due to COVID. But they opened up in mid-October, and we were on the plane a few weeks later for a well-overdue Asahi and a visit to the in-laws. We were just on time at the airport, but they said there was a slight delay. So we headed to a JAL's business lounge, because, let's face it, we're doing very well. Mm. Sitting in the lounge was former Geelong and current Foxwoodie legend Dwayne Russell. With presumably his wife and young adult children. They were headed off for a post-season break. Ah, well deserved. I soon realised he was on our flight. At the JAL business class, as the JAL business class seats afford a lot of privacy, I didn't get a view of the selection of food or drink. But I noted that the Shawshank Redemption was part of the in-flight entertainment. So I can only assume that he watched that back-to-back for 10 hours. I did catch him again at the foreigner line at immigration, fumbling with glasses and immigration documents. Hopefully, Dwayno and the family enjoyed a hard-earned holiday in the land of the rising sun.
Oh, fantastic.
That's actually pretty cool. That actually makes me really want to go to Japan. Just that story. Just go, fuck. Stuff being in Melbourne, I want to go to Japan and see footballers.
But also, you can walk in the steps of Dwayne Russell. I mean, just to go, I think, like when you walk across, when you're in Shibuya doing that Shibuya scramble, which is that massive
The
crossing.
Crossing, yeah.
Yeah, the big crossing, you can be like, I know for a fact that Dwayne Russell would have been here.
Well, I mean, there's so many people, you got to dodge them, you got to avoid them, you know what you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
You got to shake and bake. That's what you got to do.
And as he got to the other side, he's like, kicked it, rolled it, gold it.
Don't forget our comedy festival shows. Head to trybooking or comedyfestival.com, type in the password, the code LOWDOG, and score yourself a discount. We are going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeOfAPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawkers!
The Hawks. <that's>
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.